right here, so. Oh, we topped it. We cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Eight iron. Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, and we've got a special guest here today, Mr. Ronan O'Connor. How are we?
Doing great, lads. Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for coming. Good to have you here, mate. Good to have you here. Do you want to start off by telling everyone who you are?
Yeah, of course, of course. So Ronan O'Connor from Dublin, Ireland originally. Now living stateside in Boston, Massachusetts. So Thanksgiving here in the U.S., today, and it's also my birthday. So
happy birthday, mate.
Cheers. November 26th. Go on, the lads.
Ching, ching.
God, I have my pint coming up now. So
lovely stuff.
I'll get that into me celebration drink. But yeah, so moved over to the US. I came over on a golf scholarship back in 2005 down in South Carolina and was there for 4 years playing college golf and then moved up to the city of champions, as we call it, Boston, in 2009. And so I've been here for 11 and a half years, been here ever since, living my best life.
Yeah, we'll get on to it. We'll get on to your college experience, definitely. But how did it all start for you at the beginning then, Roland? So obviously you're in your amateur days, growing up in Dublin, Ireland.
So started golf at a young age, took it up. So I had to be 12. I grew up playing the Island Golf Club, which held the amateur championship, or the British amateurs, they call it over here, with Putmarnock Golf Club last year, where James Sugrue won the Island Golf Club where I grew up, co-hosted. So I grew up there and you had to be 12 to get into the course. My dad was a member there. So I was playing like par three courses from the age of about 8 or 9. And then got into the Island under my dad's membership when I was 12. And there was literally like fucking 50 kids there every year, in the summertime. It was like the fucking living it up, playing golf, fucking playing 36, 54 holes a day.
Sounds
and
unreal.
I was lucky in that, like, there were so many of us that were like really good golfers. And the Island Golf Club in Dublin is known to be producing a lot of good golfers, like Gavin Moynihan. I'm sure you've heard of Gavin.
Yeah, I've heard of
he's
Gavin,
there and he's doing well nowadays. But there's been over the years, like, a lot of really good, like, Walker Cup players out of there. And then also Philip Walton, he won 2 Ryder Cups. He was out of the Island, and his nephew, Brendan Walton, he's my age, he was there as well. And yeah, so just started off at the Island Golf Club and competing in the club competitions, competing, got picked for Leinster, the province, and for Ireland in the golf. So just was playing passionately since I was about 12. Started off at an 18 handicap, got down to 2 handicap when I was 13, and sick, just been in love with the game ever since.
Yeah. So what age group were you growing up with then? Was there any of the lads on tour now? Any of the big boys that you play with growing up back then?
Yeah. So most of them, so for example, like Rory McIlroy, we were on the Irish under 15s together. I was 14. He was 11, I should say.
Okay,
and I actually remember it well, like, because obviously he's fucking really good nowadays, living the dream. But he was 11, I was 14, and we were at City West Hotel. And there was an English coach. He was the head coach of the Golfing Union at the time. I can't think of his name now. This would have been in like 2001-ish. And it was, I just remember seeing him. I got there early. My auntie dropped me off. And I remember thinking, like, geez, who's this little, like, bitch standing beside me, you know? The lobby. He was up to my hip. Like, I didn't realize. I thought he was someone's kid.
Yeah.
Running around. And he was actually, like, then we got paired together. We were rooming together. And we went out the next day and we were playing on the course and he was off at 8 handicap. And I remember just like, I wasn't playing well. I remember like, cause I was massive, like I'm 6'5" now. And I remember even then I was huge. I remember him coming up to me and being like, Jesus, like what's wrong with your game? I was like, the fuck this little 11-year-old fucker. Like that's what's wrong with my game. Like, and, but like, it was all, we were just having fun with it, you know? And then, just fortunate enough to meet him then. At such a young age, and just with Rory in particular, like he, every year he just did something better and better than the previous year. Like when he was 13, he was winning the fucking amateur championships, the big tournaments. And then when he was 14, 15, he was playing in the European Tour, the PGA Tour. And then it just every year got better and better until about 2013. or 14 or so when he had his first like bad year in comparison to what he'd done the year before.
Yeah.
And there's Shane Lowry, I grew up with Shane Lowry as well. Him being from Offaly, which is in Leinster. And to this day, like, keep in touch with Shane. He's just one of the lads, hasn't changed a bit. Like, always.
He seems that way as well.
He does,
yeah. 100%.
He's like one of the boys.
Yeah.
He really is. Like, to give you an example, like, do you remember last year, the PJ Championship got moved forward?
Yeah.
To May. And it was in Bethpage. And I didn't even realize that at the time. But it was probably in about like March or April, he was DMing me on Instagram just saying, hey, look, I'm going to be in Bethpage for the PGA. Do you want tickets? And I was there going, yeah, of course I want fucking tickets. Course, but I didn't realize like that it was then. And I didn't realize that because to him, he was down in Florida at the time. And to him, like, that's fucking basically Boston. You know what I mean? That's my backyard, even though it's like 3 hours away.
Yeah,
but that's just the kind of guy he is. Like, he was reaching out to me saying, here, look, I'm going. Do you want tickets? And he hooked me up with tickets for every day. And then I'd always go and meet him in Austin, Texas for the Dell Technologies. We have a good mate, Peter McGibney, who's living there. And we grew up with him. So we'll always go there and party it up. So having a good laugh in Austin and watching Shane. But yeah, it completely hasn't changed one bit. One of the lads.
Yeah, my respect went up for Shane when I seen him put that club over his knee in the last major. Yeah, snapped it straight over his knee.
Yeah, exactly. We all play the game. We all get frustrated, like, you know.
Yeah, man.
Whereas like Rory hasn't changed either. Like, he's an absolute hero. Still so passionate about the game. Like, I was with him last 2 years ago or so at TPC Boston at the Dell Technologies as well, the FedEx Cup event.
Yeah.
And walking the fairways with him hasn't changed. Like, just fucking loves the game, passionate about everything. And was talking to him about like just his workouts and seeing if all the rumors were true about all that. For example, like, I couldn't comprehend someone going and lifting and running and doing hard workout before a round of golf.
Yeah.
And he was just going in. So I was asking about that. And he was telling me basically that it is something that he does, because for him, he's naturally, he was saying him and Brooks Koepka are the same. They're very loose. So I like to feel stiff before a round of golf.
It's fucking a bit cheeky, that, isn't it? Everyone else is fucking stiff trying to get loose.
Yeah, exactly. Why do you think I fucking do yoga all the time? Like, but essentially it was basically what it's about. It's like, before you go to work for them, it's like you feel good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
release endorphins, you're fucking sharp. So that's what it's like. It comes down to just putting yourself in the best frame of mind for the day.
Yeah.
And then just happen to be professional golfers, it's no different. But even myself, like, my best friends are golf. I've shot a course records where I've actually done yoga before I've golfed. But for me, I'm naturally very stiff, so I like to get loose. But it's the same thing. It's more so just about putting your mind in a good place.
Yeah, like, and your pre-shot routine, like, isn't it? Every time you start with anything, isn't it? Getting yourself in that right frame of mind and doing all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know, but there's a difference between a pre-shot routine and then bench pressing, and then your chest is shaking. You need a protein shake. Your muscles are all aching. You don't know what's going on.
I know. But I'm sure if you do it enough,
you
don't
get
stiff and all that. Like, you know what I mean? And Rory and Brooks Koepka are fucking chisels. So to them, it's probably nothing. Like,
yeah, smashing it.
I wouldn't advise it if you're a fat cunt like me.
Me.
Hey, do you know, see, when Rory's been struggling lately, you should have went up to him and said, what's happened to your game?
I'll tell you what's happened to his game. Because we talked about it 2 years ago. So his wife at the time, his current wife, I can't think of her name now, but he told me, he was like, yeah, she's looking for kids. And he was like, I'm fucked if I'm having kids. So he got her two dogs, he said. So me being, I have a 4.5-year-old, so I told him, I was like, Rory, like, once you have kids, it's fucking tough, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
and that's all it is, like, life, you know what I mean? Him having a kid now, few months old, I believe, and marriage life, like, it's, you hear them talk about all the time, like, when you're that good and you have all the money in the world and the private jet lifestyle, like, you still got to grind it out in the range, you know?
Yeah.
But like, just bringing a kid into the equation is always going to make it that little bit harder. Like,
yeah, 100%.
That's all it comes down to. Like, you know what I mean? And little fine tuning, little things, but he'll come good eventually.
Yeah.
Well, I read an article saying that he read this book called Digital Minimalism, and he got off his phone. He had all these top fives. And then, so every week on the podcast, we just say, Rory, put your phone down. We know you're listening.
Yeah.
We've got the solution.
Yeah, exactly. It was pre-lockdown, wasn't it? Pre-lockdown, he done this thing, didn't he? And he was having, did he have 2 wins, 2 seconds and 2 fifths or something like that?
Yeah, because it's funny you mention that, because I definitely noticed, like, back in the day, like, he would get off Twitter and no tweets during, like, his tournaments. But it, as you know, like, it's so easy to get distracted just on social media.
Yeah.
And all that, like, and, you know, every little, they need to pay attention to every little fucking detail, like, to be at their peak performance.
Yeah. It's a new way of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Like,
what was it like then growing up with them playing in the same tournament? Because imagine the competition. Because when we grew up with Tommy Fleetwood. So Tommy Fleetwood was a local lad to ours, and he was the superstar. You could tell straight away he was off +3, +4 at the age of 14, 15, wasn't he, Kevin? He was winning all the local events. He was playing for Lancashire, playing for the England team. He was the man.
Yeah.
And obviously he's gone on to do that. Was it the same for Rory back in them days? You just knew straight away he was the man, or was it not?
Yeah, like, I mean, definitely, like, with Rory, like, he was a fucking prodigy. And he was so young playing even just the boys tournaments, the under 18s, like, his dad, Jerry, would be taking him to all the tournaments, playing the practice rounds with us. And he hasn't changed one bit, in the sense that he's just always been so fucking confident. And, like, there's a big difference between, like, arrogance and confidence. And, like, I remember we were at Burr Golf Club one time playing the Leinster boys, and he was fucking in the bunker, like, just giving a fucking bunker expedition with his putter, just hitting fucking putter bunker shots to fucking a few feet, and everyone being like, what the fuck? And he must have been 12, 13 at the time. And same with a lot of good golfers. I grew up with a lot of good golfers, like, back in the day, and it's just confidence what it comes down to. And we were all just having fun, fucking taking trains to tournaments, fucking staying in the B&Bs, and just enjoying it, like, having fun with it all. But there was the English. I remember when you mentioned Tommy Fleetwood, like, I'm a little older than Tommy, but I played Ollie Fisher in my home international, one of my home internationals matches.
Yeah.
And he was a big prodigy at the time. And I remember he was, I think, a year older than Rory. And I remember, like, them being like, geez, they could be the next fucking prodigies. And obviously Ollie's had a great career. I think he's still on the European tour. I know he's had like a 59 on the European tour.
Yeah.
But the fucking cunt, like, I played him. I'll never forget. I was fucking 4 up against a cunt. I was 4 up after 6. Thinking, yes, I'm going to beat this fucking prick. Like, and the fucker, he wasn't up the whole day, and he won 18 to beat me 1 up. And I was fucking pissed.
Worse.
And of course, England beat us then, the home internationals.
And was it just by that as well?
I don't know if it was that now, to be honest, but it felt like that.
Yeah.
It was like, not winning, you know what I mean? It was us against them in the last match to win it all.
What level is that at then? Were you playing Ollie Fisher?
So that would have been, that would have been in 2003. So that would have been boys. That would have been under 18.
So then what did you, after you played for Ireland boys then, did you? And then what happened after that?
Yeah, so then came over here when I was 18 to the States on the golf scholarship.
What was you playing off, sorry to interrupt, what was you playing off to get a scholarship, and how did you go about getting the scholarship? Was it just... Did they scout you, or did you have to? Because I know there's agencies now in the UK, and you'd have to pay a lot of money.
Yeah,
and things.
I mean, yeah, of course. So for me personally, I was scouted. It was actually two of us from the Island Golf Club, a great mate of mine, Andrew Pitcher. We were both there. We both played for Ireland. We were both from the Island Golf Club. And it was also, there was a guy, Angus McAllister, who is another really good Irish golfer, still is a great golfer, living here in Boston too, funny enough as well. But he was a senior at Francis Marion University, FMU, where we went. And so what I would advise to a lot of people who are looking to go to the States is to sync up with lads that have been there and done that, because the biggest recruitment for coaches is alumni, as they call it here, past pupils.
Yeah.
Because if I refer a guy that I know is good to the coach of my college or any college, like, they're going to take a serious look at him. You know what I mean? And oftentimes, like, I personally didn't use the agency road and all those other resources, and I'm sure they're good. But some people don't have that money, you know what I mean? And if you know lads that have been there, and if you're good enough, like, contact me, contact anyone, and we'll send you a referral, because coaches listen to their players, you know what I mean? Their former players, especially.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's all it was. And he referred us, and we had, over the years, like, there's a lot of Irish there, and there still is, and there's a lot of Swedish lads too. Freddie Olsen, who was on the European Tour. I'm not sure if he still has his card, but he had referred a load of Swedes, and that's why they kept coming. Same with us Irish lads. And that's all it is. We're just referrals.
Yeah, get them over.
Yeah.
So talk to us a bit about your college life then. What was it like over there?
It was, I'll never forget. Like, so came over 2005 with my mate Andy, and we were in Myrtle Beach Airport. And I remember like getting off the little plane and just being hit with this fucking heat. And being like, Jesus Christ, like, what's this? Thinking it was the propellers, like the heat from the propellers. So we get our bags, we check out, we go through the other side. A coach picked us up. And we get hit with the heat again. And we're like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever experienced like
summer. Yeah, it's like you can't breathe, heat. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, like it's like nuts. So to give you a golf example. So the next day we went and played our home course, which is the Country Club of South Carolina. And we played four holes and we had to walk in because like we jumped into a swim pool. We were just fucking drenched from the humidity. And obviously it gets a little better and milder as the winter comes in, but August time, September, it's almost like unplayable. And even then, like my first tournament, I'm not sure if you lads have had anyone who played college golf over here on the podcast, but college golf here is typically 36 holes walking with the bag on your back and then 18 the final round the next day. So when you're playing that 36 holes, no break, it's a shotgun start. So you'll keep going for 36 holes from like 7 in the morning. And coming from Ireland, where I'm used to fucking wearing a woolly hat and an umbrella, to fucking go into like the fucking jungle where there's dinosaurs flying across the fairway, giant fucking mosquitoes. You'd be, after 18 holes, you'd have a fucking golfer's arse, we call it. You'd be walking like a penguin from the fucking rash. And you'd literally just be dying and you'd have a headache just from the heat and humidity and not being used to that. Whereas the lads that grew up here in down south in particular were used to that. Yeah. So it was very completely different game. And Bermuda grass, another thing that was like, what the fuck is this shit? Yeah. I don't know if he's ever played golf in Bermuda grass, but the ball moves on the greens where the grain goes. So if the grain is, if it look, you know, back home, you see the putt and that's what it does. Whereas down south in the Bermuda, it'll do the complete opposite because it goes where the grain is going. So that took a while to get used to. But it was a great experience. And just like anything, getting spreading your wings and getting used to different golf environments, different environments in general was a great experience. And we had such a laugh. At one stage, there was four Irish lads on the team. And so we had the crack and we didn't know, like, cause we weren't from there. You know what I mean? They didn't know what we were talking about. Like, they couldn't understand us. And it was just hilarious. Like, and they're very nice people and we had the time of our life. And, it's funny, I was just looking into it there. So the golf club that I'm a member at here, the International Golf Club, just got bought by a company, Escalante Golf. And they own a course called King's Mill. And we played a tournament there in King's Mill down in Virginia, William and Mary's tournament. And we won it on St. Patrick's Day. So you can imagine the piss up we had.
Yeah.
Winning that. It holds an LPGA Tour course. And I remember just being Irish and being on St. Patrick's Day and having four lads on the team rocking the green shirts. We were fucking loving life.
Stick that. I was in South Carolina last year. I stayed there when I went over to Augusta. I've obviously told Mark a few times I've been there, do you know what I mean?
Mentions this every fucking episode, yeah.
Yeah, what time of year was it?
It was April, wasn't it? We went for the Masters, so we ended up playing Hilton Head. And we played the Plantation, sort of the Plantation.
Wexford Plantation,
yeah, that's it.
Yes, that's funny. So that's where we had two home tournaments in college. And we'd have they call it the spring season over here, that we'd had at Wexford Plantation. That's where
that's probably coaches, one of the best courses I've ever played there.
Yeah, it's an amazing course. And
the lad who's the pro there now, James Scales, his name is, he's actually from Ireland.
No way.
I went to college with him, yeah.
Oh, geez, I need to look. I didn't even know that. I was playing there back in 2005, 2009. Oh, so it's been a long time, but yeah, amazing course. I remember just being so tight, not like taking the driver out of the bag. Cause if you literally went into trees, they were out of bounds everywhere.
Yeah, you fucked. And the green, the undulations on the green, like the fucking, some of it, like major, major undulations. Isn't it?
Yeah. And that's because America, people forget, like, America's grown up in Ireland and you lads in England, like, we think it's big, you know, but you come over here and each state's like a country and they have all these amazing courses. Yeah. Even in Massachusetts where I live, I hear courses the lads talk about them all the time. Like, geez, I've never even played that. I never even heard of it. And like, they're fucking top-notch five-star courses.
Yeah.
But we're lucky here in the Northeast. Yeah, exactly. And we're lucky here in the Northeast. It's honestly, you have some of the best courses. You go down from like Pennsylvania, Virginia, up to Massachusetts here, and you have like a huge amount of the top 100 in the world. You have a fucking some of the best courses in the world. So we're very lucky up here where I live. You have so many amazing courses like Shinnecock. You have Pine Valley, the Country Club where the US Open is, I believe, in 2022 here in Boston. So we're very lucky just to have so many amazing courses. And then, like, to your point, in South Carolina, there's some savage courses down there as well that most people wouldn't even heard of. Like,
well, I've never even heard of that Hilton Head Island, but on that actual island, there's about 20 golf courses. Like, 20 might be an exaggeration, but there's a good amount of golf courses just on that island, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And that, that's less touristy. And then the likes of like Myrtle Beach and places like that. So, and you were there, like, it's very nice.
Oh, it's unreal. It's a very,
really beautiful place, and the weather's good all year round. And whereas most people like from home would go to like Florida or wherever, but South Carolina is fucking beautiful. And you played that course. Did you say Harbortown? Did you play there as well?
We didn't play Harbortown. We played it. Hilton, it was actually Hilton Sutton, Hilton Head, like next, it was quite close to the Harbour Town because we wanted to play Harbour Town, but it was a bit more expensive. And then we were like,
it wouldn't be cheap, but that could, whereas most people back home would have heard of Harbour Town, like, which is exactly where it is.
Well, that's where they have a European PGA Tour event there, don't they?
Yeah, the RBC, the Royal Bank of Canada, whatever it's called, at least that's what it was called. I'm not sure what it is. I think Luke Donald won there back in the day,
did he? Yeah. So growing up in South Carolina, you'd have been probably around the same time as DJ, wouldn't you? Dustin Johnson, was it?
Yeah, exactly. Like he was at Coastal just a year ahead of me. So would have didn't actually ever play with him, but was there around the same time. And he was obviously he was amazing in college too. And he was one of the first lads that was actually doing really well straight out of college.
Yeah.
And winning his rookie year. And winning every year since. And very few have done that, like coming out of college. Now, so maybe not so much, but back in the day, like it was Tiger that would have done that. And then it would have been DJ. And then Ricky, I think, might have done it too. I played a Ricky back in the day, but like not many lads were doing that. So they were definitely like, just DJ was a prodigy even in college.
Yeah, he's showing it now as well, isn't he?
I can't believe I didn't pick the fucker to win. What was I thinking? Like,
I was in the same. He picked him. Yeah, I didn't. Though. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I was thinking it was Brooks Koepka's to lose, but he was shite. Like,
I picked Brooks, yeah. I thought Brooks. Because the week before, he'd finished 65-65, hadn't he? And I thought, do you know what? Here he goes. He's going to fucking smash this one, but wasn't to be.
Yeah, I think my personal opinion, like, I think you can't get too cocky in this game. And him going around saying it's a par fucking 67, him going around talking about how far he's hitting it, like, golf will come and bite you in the arse. So,
Bryson, yeah.
I think that you don't need to be putting extra pressure on yourself, you know what I mean?
No, he killed it for himself, didn't he, Bryson, by doing that straight away? There's just, far too much pressure on him. What do you think of the Masters overall? Bit of an anti-climax at the end, wasn't it? But decent tournament.
Yeah, like personally, I was happy for DJ, obviously, to be crushing it. Like, but I would have loved to seen a closer finish. I would have loved to see him choke a little bit, you know, and make it exciting for us to watch.
On the third hole, he hit his shot like just short of the green. I seen that him chip up, and I didn't realize DJ was that close. And I went on my betting, and I was getting offered like £100 or something. So I was like, right, I'll take that. Thought I was cashing out the win bet, but I cashed on me each way bet. Turns out he was there for one. He made birdie anyway. I fucking cashed on the bet. Fucking loser I am.
But yeah, it's hard to believe. He's only won two majors, but when he's on, like, he's tough to beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To win 20 under was a record. To fucking win him by five was very impressive. And yeah, hats off to him. You know what I mean?
Well, it might have been the TPC Boston, actually, but which one was he on? 30 under, wasn't he? Won by 10 in the FedEx.
It was the FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
So the Northern Trust, they changed names. So yes, it was at TPC Boston.
Yeah.
Obviously, no fans this year, but they moved it to every year, to every other year now. It goes between here and New Jersey. And so, yeah, but it was TPC Boston. He was fucking, remember that round? He almost was on for like 58 or 57 or something. I think he was 11 under for the front nine.
He was, yeah.
But that was being local. That was like, we were hearing about that like instantly, like it was right here, like in our own backyard.
Definitely.
And that course, like I've played that course a bunch, like that is not an easy golf course. Like, and it, we all talk about it here. It's like, what the fuck? Like those lads are pissing on that course. It just shows how good they are, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's definitely pretty open, like, and it's built for tournaments. Like it's amazing. The greens are so good, but to be shooting those scores there, like, is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
So going straight out of like, college then for you, back to you. What happened after that then, straight out from college?
Yeah. So obviously was played in college for 4 years and getting used to the adjustment of the heat and the Bermuda from the fucking rain and Lynx Golf in Ireland that I grew up on. And then the goal was to always go pro. But in 2008, the economy tanked, the recession, as I'm sure you remember.
Yeah.
So going pro in golf, as you know, is like being a pro poker player. Like you almost need a financial backer. And just with the financial times being tough, I decided to get a job and support myself financially here in Boston. Was lucky enough to get a job offer here. And so I ended up working here for a year. And I came here actually after my junior year in college, so after my third or 4 years in college, and was caddying at the country club in Brookline, and just loved the city, fell in love with it, and then decided to move here after I graduated, and been here for 11 and a half years now ever since. But I've obviously like decided not to go pro at the time, but as you've seen from Instagram, I get a lot of golf in and just enjoy just having fun with the lads and having no pressure, and just, you know what I mean, going out and there's a lot of good golf courses here and winning club championships. So
yeah,
I've just been having fun in my own way here, but never rule it out. Like, because the beauty of golf, you can turn pro whenever you want. You know what I mean?
That's yeah, cool. nice little 63 for you yesterday, seeing as well.
Yeah.
Nice exactly, little birthday treat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was playing with the lads. It was fucking hilarious. Like, because of my buddies that I was playing with yesterday, like they're big gamblers. They like to play for a lot of money, but they're fucking the worst golfers you've ever seen. And they would have played like sports in college. Like they would have played like one of them was a professional footballer. One of them was a professional, not professional, but he played basketball in college. And so they think they're great. And I give them lots of shots. Like I was giving them 21 shots. But it was so funny because I was playing great. Like I had obviously shooting 63, I had 2 eagles and a ton of birdies, and we ended up playing 27 holes. And I had my 3rd eagle of the day on the 4th hole of our last 9. And they were literally like, all right, we're done. We're not playing you ever again for money. You're too good. I just lost a lot. Then you know you beat them, you know?
Yeah, that's
you
it.
Beat them into submission. But it's just funny.
Broke them down, yeah.
We can still compete, like, you know, yourselves. Like, given that's the beauty of golf, you can give lads plenty of shots. But next time they said they want 36 shots, 2 shots in every hole, the cunt. So
need to bring your A game then.
Do you know when you were caddying at Brookline, Massachusetts, at the country club? I watched the film, The Greatest Game Ever Played. Is that round? Yeah. Do you know that film? Is that that course?
It is, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Francis, we met. Yeah, that's right there.
Francis, we met. That's it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he that was where it was all based, right there.
Yeah.
And so that was in 1913 when he won the US Open. And so the country club tried to get it for 2013, the 100-year anniversary, but it didn't for whatever reason. They had the U.S. Amateur, which Matt Fitzpatrick won. And then it's now going to – the U.S. Open will be there in 2022, I believe it is. But that course, unbelievable. And part of caddying there was you got to play it twice a week for free.
Unbelievable.
So it was great. Yeah. And
that helps you golf as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's a savage track. Really is. It suits my game too. It's small greens because my putting isn't the best half the time. So when you're on the small greens, it's easier to 2-putt and 1-putt.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, only if
I'm excited to see it. Yeah. Well, no, I'm tee to green. I'm usually pretty solid. But the beauty of that one, just having a major championship in your own backyard and knowing the course so well, like just to see the pros at it, like,
yeah.
And then because the US Open is open, like I can try qualify, so I'm going to give it a go and try qualify for it. And
yeah, definitely. Get in. Kev, yeah, this is your cue to offer a caddy job here. Yeah,
so obviously, once you, if you qualify for the US Open, I'll be flying over. Don't worry, I'll be on the back.
Yeah, yeah. You're rocking the Dublin gear.
I'm going to wear this exact top, this exact rig out now.
Go on, the lads. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
thank God you aren't Liverpool fans or I wouldn't be fucking on this podcast. Like,
no, definitely not. No, we have to surround ourselves with them on a daily basis. Yeah, and with them winning the league last season. Jesus.
I'm a big United fan, so I couldn't cope. And even here, it's so weird. Like in America here, like there's so many Arsenal fans. Because remember, like way back in the day, like Arsenal were pretty good. Like when we were younger,
the Invincibles, yeah. And that, yeah.
So it's like, what the fuck are you supporting Arsenal for? Like they're just shite, you know. Yeah. The lads, like all, for some reason, all the Americans support Arsenal. So like I have a hatred towards Arsenal, and then naturally being a United fan, like don't really like Liverpool. So
yeah,
it's good that you aren't Liverpool fans.
Funny you should say that, because when you mentioned there about being in America, I didn't do the 4 years, but I went over and done a golf scholarship myself in America, in St. Charles in Missouri. And like you say there's loads of Swedish lads there, and they were all Liverpool fans. Don't know what the Swedes were like where you was, but
all
Liverpool fans. So I used to have like so much beef with them, you know, every day, just back and forth all the time. Yeah. Quality.
Oh, yeah. The abuse and banter doesn't change, like no matter where you are in the world.
No, definitely
not. And obviously, like being Irish, like there's a shitload of Liverpool fans, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
So dealing with all that growing up.
I think the head of the Liverpool supporters club is in Boston, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a big Liverpool supporters club. There's some pubs that like host the games here, and they're huge.
Yeah.
Just naturally being so many English and Irish here in Liverpool. And then obviously with the Fenway Sports Group and John Henry owning the Red Sox here.
Yeah,
there's a massive, like, because like you see the Liverpool jerseys everywhere, like it's fucking make you puke. It would
spit on them. So obviously we found you as being like just a mad bastard on Instagram, like floating around doing all sorts of crazy shit. We thought we have to get you on. Where did the like? Obviously, you went to Boston, and then you've got a job, and now you're called Yoga Golf Dad. Where does that come from?
Yeah, great question. So with the Instagram, like I used, just like anyone else, I was on Instagram, like not really giving a fuck, doing whatever. I still don't give a fuck, but I just start putting my life up there because I'm a yoga teacher here in Boston, and I golf a lot, and I'm a dad. So I just put my life up there, and I think what it was a combination of the yoga, because I had that yoga crowd, and then because I'm not your average yogi, you know what I mean? 6'5". Fucking weigh a ton, not that flexible, but a lot of the lads, especially with golf, can relate to it.
Yeah.
And then the golf, it was obviously like putting up golf fields, but I was just fortunate that my course, the International Golf Club here in Boston, is the number one hardest course in North America. It's 8,325 yards from the Tiger Tees, and just putting up videos of the fucking crazy holes. And just putting up crazy shit, just playing that course. It just gathered momentum, and people are liking it, you know?
Yeah. 8,325 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. With no run. Like it's always wet too. It's a lot. It's crazy. Like, and I actually have the joint course record. 72 is the course record.
Is it?
With a guy, Bill Esnicki, who used to be the pro way back in the day. And mind you, that those tees, they're called the Tiger Tees, but those tees were built in the 50s. And it used to be in 1952, I think it was. And it was those tees were like, it used to be a par 77. And it's the highest, like now that you're on the world handicap system, they have the slope and rating is like the max, like the rating or the slope is 155. Which is the highest it can go, even though it should be way higher, but that's like the max it can actually go. And then the actual rating of the course is 82.4 something. So it's basically like a par 83.
Wow.
And then about 15 years ago, they moved the par from a 77 down to a par 72. So all the holes match up, but it's kind of crazy because you're playing like 585 yard par fours. There's the fifth hole can measure up to 800 yards from the from the Tiger Tees. That used to be a par six because the green's like 100 yards long. So when they have the pin at the back, and it's just a fucking beast. Okay,
have they ever had the European Tour event there?
They've looked at it, like the USGA and the PGA of America have been there a bunch, and they made some recommendations. And so it just changed ownership. They filed for bankruptcy this year under the old ownership, but a new private equity firm out of Austin, Texas, Escalante Golf, just got it and they bought it. And so, yeah, expect some big things to be coming there in the future because of the length, obviously, and there's two amazing courses. The Oaks course is a Tom Fazio design that was built about 20 years ago. And then the Pines course with the Tiger Tees is Robert Trent Jones. And that's, you'll have to come over when you're over in Boston once this fucking poxy COVID shit pandemic ends. But anyone listening, if they're ever in Boston as well, hit me up on Instagram. At your golf dad, and I'll take you out there, and hopefully next year.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let's say I fucking struggle on there, me, because I'm Kev will tell you, I never get the driver out me. I'm a little papa just trying to get it in play.
Like it's funny because I bring people all the time, and there's lads that can hit it pretty far, you know what I mean? But you know, further than not as far as like a scratch golfer, let's say, but they can hit it out there like 250, let's say. And you can't even reach the fairways. So it's not for the average golfer. Like, but they do a big tournament every year called the Chairman's Invitational. And it's a bramble. So everyone tees off and you play your best. Everyone picks the best drive and then you play out individually from there. But I always bring lads that can fucking hit it miles because if you can't, like, you're not even reaching fairways. And even the par threes, three of the four par threes are 275 all carry over water, like so. Okay, it's
what you do, like what do you actually do there?
Well, I'll give you an example. So 1 year we were playing the Chairman's Invitational, and the seventh hole, it normally to the middle of the green, it measures 278 yards, slightly downhill, so you can get away with sometimes hitting a tree wood. Well, one day in this tournament we were playing, and the pin was in the back right, and it was into the wind, and took out the bush and I measured it was 304 to the pin. And so obviously into the wind, you had to like bomb a driver. And so we bombed the driver and we were on the middle of the green in the fringe, just like putting, but just short of the green. And it was a bramble. So everyone in the group played out individually from there. And the best we got was a double bogey putting. We couldn't keep the green. And so that green in particular, the USGA were like, look, you're going to have to fix this green. Because not only is it a monster of a hole, but the green's like so slopey, and when they cut them fast, like it's nuts.
It'd be so good to see that course, won't it? Because they're talking now about like Bryson DeChambeau ruining courses and bombing it.
Yeah,
but it's someone like him. We were talking on our latest podcast. There's a South African guy on the European Tour, Wilco. His name is
Nierenberger.
But his driving average was 337, and he hit one like 460 something yards when he was playing in South Africa. Be good to get those fellas on there when they're at the peak.
Oh, definitely.
See how they fare on it, isn't it?
Yeah. And back in the day, they had a big skins game with Tiger Woods, John Daly, all the big hitters at the time, and they played it. Like, but the thing of it is, like, I'm sure you lads know this. I'm not sure if you've talked about it in your podcast, but when pros come into town, like with the exception of the majors, maybe they set up the course for them. Like, you know what I mean? They complain when the tees are in certain spots and they're not a good landed area. But for us amateurs, like playing the international, it's fucking wet. So there's no run on the ball. The rough's fucking a joke. And it's literally the hardest course. And obviously if you're banging it fucking 400 yards, that'll help you. But even with the greens being slopey. So I challenge anyone out there, if they want to try knock the champ off his pedestal and beat my course record.
Yeah, the champ.
Do you know what?
Well, actually, five-time champ. So there you champ.
Do you know if I'd have said something like, there's a course out there that's 8,325 yards and there's a par six and blah, blah, eat market straight away, just scream, fact check.
Yeah, there's no way you believe in that.
Sure. Funny you mentioned that. So there's, have you ever heard of Golf Views, I think it's called, on Instagram?
I have, yeah. I know which one you mean, yeah.
They're English lads, and they do, like, can you make a par challenge?
Oh, I've seen that, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
So one day, this is probably 2 years ago now, I did it on that hole. The par, used to be a par six, the fifth hole. And I just filmed each shot, put it up, lipped out for birdie, made par. And the fucking level of hate in the comments was like, fucking what the fuck? Whereas on my Instagram, it's nothing but, like, people being nice and saying nice shit, like... And so it was funny, like, because obviously I'm not a celebrity, but you hear the celebrities back home talking about, like, the trolls online and all that. So I was going on, like, all these fuckers, like, writing all this shit. I was going on and fucking trolling them back, being like, look it up, you little bitch. Like, why would I fucking make it up? You know what I mean? But it's just weird that, like, they think that it wouldn't be real. Of course it's real. Like, look it up, you know?
Just sad bastards, aren't they?
Yeah.
Bastards do.
Yeah. Haters going to hate, as they say here.
That's exactly it.
Potatoes gone potato.
Yeah. I haven't heard that one.
That's a proper fucking... I thought that was a proper dub one.
I haven't heard that. It might be, but I mean, I've been here for fucking, Jesus, almost 16 years now. Yeah. So...
Well, so then now, it's all of a sudden, so now once you're on the yoga, you're doing yoga full-time now, are you?
No, so I actually am in sales. So I have a day job with the sales.
No, I see.
But the yoga, yeah, I haven't really talked much about the yoga, but the yoga, I stumbled upon it so my daughter was born in May of 2016, and we just happened to move beside a core power yoga location in Cambridge, Massachusetts, just beside Boston, and was like, saw a load of fucking people outside. Supermodels, you know.
To say so women. Like, oh,
yeah. And so I was like, fuck, I'll let me check this place out. Like, because a lot easier to, like, commuting into the city wasn't as easy. I used to live in the city, so I'd walk to the gym. And then I did a free week. They gave a free week and fucking was hooked ever since, because it's power yoga. So it's basically, it's hot yoga, hot power vinyasa yoga is what it's called. So it's hot yoga. But it's, you do a lot of core work and you obviously do a lot of stretching, but you burn a lot of calories. So it's like the best of both worlds. And me naturally being a very stiff human, as I was saying earlier, like, it just was a match made in heaven. And so I was doing that fucking 5-6 days a week. And then was just fascinated how it really just helped me in life, helped me with golf. And I was in a bad place mentally at the time, just with my ex and all that. So it fucking saved me just from fucking hitting the depths. And and I'm just so passionate about it that I wanted to give back and became a teacher a good few years ago. And then we've just been loving teaching, and because I'm obviously Irish, I stand out, and being a male instructor, I stand out as well. And then obviously just with the golf and just talking about the benefits that it's had in my golf game and life, a lot of people, especially men, can relate to that, you know what I mean? Because it is probably 80-90% women. So just trying to change the mold a little bit with it. You know what I mean?
Would you do them on Zoom too? Yeah. Do you do any of the Zoom?
I was in the beginning, but to be honest, I might get back into it. Like, I get asked from a lot of colleges and sports teams to teach. And so I'm working on that behind the scenes. But back when the pandemic first hit, like in March, I was teaching every day online and Zoom and on Instagram. And I just got bored, honestly, like teaching in front of a fucking camera. Like, I prefer like being in person.
Yeah.
So I started doing like free yoga on the beach, and then and now I'm about to start teaching in some new studios here that are open in Boston. But yeah, I definitely am looking into getting back on Zoom. And honestly, it for me, it's not work. So I just love teaching and love having a laugh with it and love showing people that, like, it really helps your life and your game. And so I'll always open to teach anywhere, anytime. You know what I mean? So if you're ever looking for a little virtual yoga session,
I was gonna say, if you want to see stiff, I'll show you stiff. Fucking hell.
Me and Mark, actually, last year I was going to yoga, and I was actually doing this one class. It was 8 till 9. I got a free pass, like you said there, and tried them all, and this one stood out to me. It was hot power, like exactly what you just said. You burned those clothes. And I took Mark a couple of times. We went, remember, Mark?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Times in it, but I've never actually done it where I've been playing golf as well. So I'd love to see once it reopens, if it correlates and helps the both of them.
100%, like it 100%. And because obviously the heat, like, can take a little getting used to, but then once you're used to it, it's like becomes addictive, just like getting else, like going to the gym and all that. Yeah, and it really is. I couldn't recommend it enough. And then especially like when you're there, like surrounded by the fucking birds, you know what I mean? Like it's fucking giving it your all. Like, so.
Any stories from inside the ropes you want to share?
Jesus, with the lads. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some that cannot be spoken about, you know, yourselves.
Yeah.
What goes on inside the ropes stays inside the ropes. I don't put any of my mates coming after me. Like
the golden rules.
Yeah. It was funny. I was talking about it yesterday with the lads. So I'm not sure if you saw on my Instagram story, but I nearly had a hole in one on the seventh. It was a par four. And yeah. I've only ever had one hole in one my whole life. And that hole in one happened to be at Cardigan Golf Club playing for Ireland against Wales. And the night before, it was pretty random. But remember, we were talking about Rory earlier and him giving me shit like for not playing good.
Yeah.
So we were having dinner and Rory says to me, like, we're just talking. He just happened to be sitting across from me. And we were talking about like how many hole in ones we all had. And I think Rory had like about 10 at the time and he was only fucking like 13 or something, and I had none, and they were all shitting on me. He was shitting on me for having no hole in ones, and just by sheer fucking coincidence, I go out the next day and had a hole in one. So it was like funny.
Have you read on your thing about it, a certain long drive contest with somebody?
Oh yeah. So that was Jordan Spieth, as I mentioned earlier, like with Shane Lowry. Like we were in Austin, Texas, and Shane had missed the cut, but Shane Lowry had won his last round robin match, which guaranteed him top 50 in the Masters. So he was out on the lash. And before we went to meet him, we went to this local private place in Austin, Texas, that was actually, it was kind of unique. They were a golf club that hadn't been built yet, but they built this simulator and restaurant and pub in downtown Austin to promote the sale for the golf club. And they were trying to get Jordan Spieth to buy a house on the golf club, essentially. And so he was just there with his mates on the golf simulator, probably about 10 of them. And I just happened to stumble in there with my mate, Peter McGibney, who I'd mentioned. And fucking there he was, hanging out with his mates. And I just went in acting like I didn't know who he was, because he seemed like he was a bit of an arrogant prick. Like, and I'm sure he's very nice, just putting that disclaimer out. But
you know, he listens to this like podcast, don't you?
Yeah, well, fuck him anyway. You speak, you cunt. No, I'm only messing. Little bitch, I'll bash you. No, but he was fucking there. He was just there hanging out. And I went up to him. I was like, all right, come on, let's have a little long drive competition. And so we were using just the standard, like, piece of shit Callaway club that they had. Not the shit on Callaway, like, but they just happened to be a Callaway club, like, regular flex. So we couldn't use, like, a driver that we liked that was there, you know. And we have $100, and he gets up and he fucking rips the first one 268 yards. And I just started abusing him, calling him a little bitch. And then I have it all in video, like it's on my Instagram, but he gets up then on the second drive and goes as hard as he can. And I think it might've gone like 288 or something. And I got mine like 302 yards. So I beat him and he paid up the $100 cash.
Unbelievable.
So fair play to him for paying his debts, because if he didn't pay his debts, he would have never heard the end of it. Like,
that's probably why he did. Heard you calling him a little bitch and thought, better pay this fella.
Yeah.
No, he probably thought, who's this fucking 6'5" lunatic fucking shouting at me?
Irish fucking Luno. Yeah, exactly. and his mates were bang on, and his wife was there, and she was in Ireland, and she was very lovely and all that. But Spieth, just probably being the competitive fucker he was a bit of a cunt. Like, but at least I got all on video and was able to fucking give him abuse.
That's fucking
and take the money off him. Yeah, but it was because we played, we were talking about colleges earlier. Like I just happened to play the day before the University of Texas Longhorns. They have their own golf course, University of Texas Golf Club, and played there and got to go into the locker room, and you see all his shit all over the wall and the Ryder Cup players that they've had over the years. And it's just unbelievable the fucking... the standard here, even for like fucking colleges, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's sick. Quality stuff, man.
Yeah, no, it is. And Texas is, I don't know if you've ever been to Texas, but it's unbelievable. It's massive. It's probably like, it's fucking huge. I think it'd fit like 30 Irelands in there. And I have friends living there. Like, I think it takes like 10 hours to drive from east to west.
Yeah.
But I've been to Austin a good few times, and the people are very friendly, and the food, the barbecue is great, and the course. I'll probably go back in the new year because, like I said, my best mate's there, and especially like if Massachusetts goes into lockdown during the winter, And Texas is a Republican state, so it'll be a lot more open.
Yeah.
And so I get to go and golf there. So it's like, yeah, you lads sneaking into Wales, like you were saying. Like, yeah.
But it's one of them. It's like, there's not like, you don't need your passport, do you? So you just drive through.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Yeah.
What's the plans for the future then? Are you going to, you obviously you're going to try and qualify for the US Open, but like you're shooting 63s and that, you must be kicking your itching or to get on the run.
Yeah, I mean, like,
what's your handicap at the minute?
+3 at the moment. But it's funny because I've always had to explain to people like the differences between like the handicap system back home and the handicap system over here. But now we're on the same handicap system. Yeah. So it's more so you guys coming to the American system. So I've been used to it, and it's going to take you lads a lot getting used to. But I'll be able to play in tournaments because I would go home and wouldn't be able to play in tournaments with my dad, for example, because they used to take the American handicap system. But now we're on the same system. So the plan really is to I'm looking to play a good amateur schedule. There's Massachusetts amateur next year is at Braeburn Country Club, where I play a lot with my buddy Sean Deal, who's actually won 7 club championships there. The cunt, he's got more than me, my 5. So I plan on beating him there and doing well in that, and then just playing a good amateur schedule here next year, try and qualify for the US Open, USAM. But as you know yourselves, like it's not easy having a job as well, because you the tournaments are during the week, and you usually have to take the full week off, especially if you do well. So
yeah,
it's just finding that balance and picking the right tournaments, you know.
100%, mate.
But it is great, like here, having it's just like home, having a lot of tournaments, and just a love for the game is the exact same as it is back home.
No, it's good to see someone as passionate as us about the game. Yeah,
it's good to just have someone and just have a good honest chat and a laugh and a few times.
Yeah, exactly.
Really enjoyed it.
Exactly, but it's one thing as well. I talk to people about this a lot. Like, it's very different here. Like. And I notice it big time when I go home, and I'm sure it's the same in Liverpool and in England, but the golf here is very laid back. Like, for example, like the handicap system, which yous have now gone into, it's all about your potential and every round counts. And so like most of the rounds, like I'm playing with the lads, like not tournament golf, like we're going out and fucking, you know, they call it the breakfast ball here. You get a fucking breakfast ball in the first hole. They give the fucking gimmies and all that, like, and you can still post that score. You still can post that round. And I tried to be fair of, okay, like, you know, I would have missed that. I would have made that. And I try and put a genuine score, but you're only like the tournament golf is where it's ball and hole, as they call it, like over here.
Yeah.
And so it's very laid. The golf here is very laid back in terms of, it's not as like lads back home, like have, when they come over off a fucking, like, let's say like a 5 handicap, they're a fucking 5 handicap here. Whereas a fucking American off of 5 handicaps, probably off like a fucking 10, 20 back home, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark's one of them 5 handicappers, that's more like a 10.
So I've heard, yeah. But it's like, because you're used to the tournament golf and playing under pressure, whereas here, like, they don't play tournaments. Like, they just play for the laugh and they drive around their fucking boogies and, like, you know what I mean? It's a very different game, but I'm used to it now and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but it's I grew up like with you lads playing in the tournament golf and playing, and it was all like fucking serious, but in a different way.
Well, that's it. Tournament golf, you've got like your category one, aren't you? You're up +1 or you're down +1. That's the margin. It's so difficult to get your handicap down from like a 5 to like a 2, unless you're shooting really low scores. So the new handicap system's going to help for getting that handicap down, isn't it? Because is it your best 8, isn't it?
Yeah, it's your best 8, your most best 8 of your most recent 20. But what you'll find here, because America's been doing this since I've been here anyway, and I'm sure before that, that it becomes out of control. And what happens is you play in these, some member guest tournaments are very big over here, where like they're 3-day tournaments at the club and everyone brings a guest and you're playing matches. And what happens is people just fake their handicaps. They call it sandbagging. Because essentially, like, there's no one marking your card for the handicap purposes. So you just go on your phone and fuckers put in like fucking they shot in the 90s, and they keep bumping their handicap up for these amateur member guest tournaments. And it becomes a problem because like there's a lot of money on the line and people are competitive, and it's like me being off +3, it's like good luck to you. Like I my buddy Peter, he's +3 as well. And I told him, I said, if you show up here off +3, we're going to get our shit shoved in and don't even bother coming. So it's very different, and it's.
Did Peter do a bit of sandbagging? Did he?
He sure did. Yeah, it was funny. He showed up off a 2 handicap, and my pro noticed what he was doing, and he made us both play off scratch. So it's pretty funny, but the point is that like people do it, like, because it's so easy to do it. So each club and is really going to have to monitor, because it's on the clubs now. Oh, there's me cider.
Lovely.
There we are. Thanks, Jordy, for the cider. Cheers, lads.
Yeah, happy birthday, cheers. Mate. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
It took an hour, that.
Yeah, get that into you. But the thing is, like, here, it's on the clubs to monitor the sandbagging and the fucking craziness that goes on. Whereas the old system, the system that I grew up with, was fucking someone marking your card, every score, every hole's marked, you know what I mean? So there's no fucking around. Whereas now that it's just fucking go on your phone and type in whatever you want, basically. People do it. So just watch out for what's coming.
Have to watch Kev.
See, when you were saying there about like you give gimmies and all that, when you know yourself, when you're playing, but like you say, ball and hole, you got to finish every hole. A 1 foot putt can be missed. I've seen ANLs miss them, do you know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
I've seen you miss them, Kev.
It's a different game.
Yeah, lads.
but here, like, I love the tournament golf here, especially with the higher handicappers, because they don't know how to fucking play in tournament golf. Not everyone, but very few people know how to play tournament golf. And it's funny because you see a lot of these college kids and you see a lot of fucking lads that, oh, I'm off plus two, I'm off plus three. And then they come and try and knock me off my pedestal in the club championship and they shoot the 90s boat rounds, you know?
Yeah.
Because so obviously you're not expecting fucking 9,000 yards or whatever you it is.
Yeah, exactly. That too. But it's a lot. The old system is a lot fairer and it's a lot more accurate. Whereas the American system, it mightn't be as accurate, but when you're a good golfer, it doesn't really matter, because here you have to qualify to get into tournaments. So like the US amateur, the Massachusetts amateur, all the amateur tournaments, you have to play your way in. Whereas back home, at least when I was growing up, it was based on your handicap, but your handicap was reliable and it was accurate. Whereas here, it doesn't really matter what you're off, because they know it's different. You have to earn your way in. You play 36 hole qualifying or 18 hole qualifying just to get into them.
Yeah, once you're off
you can attempt to qualify.
But you scratch, you don't really think about, I'm getting a shot on the hardest hole, do you? You're trying to shoot level par, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and everyone can have good days. Like me yesterday, having shooting a 63. Obviously, that's like a really good day for me. Not fucking doing that every round. Like I'd be if I was. But the best part is about that round is that I don't have to. I can't post that round, because the handicaps here in Boston shut down on November 15th because they're not used to having such good weather. So it'll keep my handicap nice and high.
Lovely.
That would have me down a lot lower.
Probably take you down a good few shots with it.
Oh, big time, especially because what happens is, like, it always takes your best 8 rounds. So if you have a couple of fucking shit rounds in there, like let's say you're shooting the 80s one day, that was then replaced by a fucking 63. So you go up, you can have massive jumps real easily.
Yeah.
It's very different. It takes a while getting used to.
Yeah, it's going to, isn't it? Yeah, it's live now. It's live now in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And trust me when I say, watch out for the craziness that goes on, because it's just a free-for-all. People literally go on their phones, and the clubs are really going to have to watch it, because it's not like the old system where it's tournament golf only and people marking your card. So trust me when I say it's just going to become a fucking shit show.
Watch the snakes.
We will.
Exactly. Watch out for the cheating bastards, as we call them.
I think that's quite a universal term.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, Ron, it's been brilliant to talk to you there, mate. We won't keep you too long. We'll have to go and enjoy Thanksgiving, and you can enjoy your birthday.
Yeah, me fucking turkey's waiting for me, and me birthday cake. Got to get it into me.
No, we appreciate you taking the time, definitely.
I'm going to be in a food coma. I won't be able to breathe later. That's why I wanted to talk to you before I fucking went into the coma, you know?
Definitely, what a day.
But no, lads, this has been amazing, and I've been following your stuff now for a couple of months, and I love what you're doing. So keep it up, and I'll be if you ever want to chat again, or if you ever want to chat to anyone else, and if I have a connection, I'll definitely try and send them your way. Like
likewise,
we wouldn't mind speaking to Shane Lowry. Like if you can fucking hook that up,
yeah, yeah. I'll, I'll talk to Shano. Like, he's fucking, he's one of the lads. Like, and for me personally, the appeal.
Even if he
was,
wants to come on with you as well, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'll talk to him. I'll let him know. Like, no guarantees, obviously, but
of course,
he hasn't changed one bit. Like, and what the appeal I love, because your podcast is close to home, you know, whereas a lot of the podcasts here that I've talked to, or a lot of podcasts that I would listen to here, are based in America. So at least with you lads, like, I can talk about the shit that, like, we're used to and the stuff that I would have grown up on, because it was just the very same, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
And I think it's, especially with the new world handicap system and golf becoming a global game, like, it's important for people to listen to both sides from across the pond. Like,
yeah, definitely. In the new year, we're going to be doing some YouTube stuff as well, aren't we, Kev? Where we're
going to do course reviews and stuff around here, all the links courses and that.
Yeah, that's video stuff. Yeah, so when you know,
so got some great courses there. Yeah. And the same when you're ever over in Boston or anywhere in the East Coast, like, let me know. And would love to
sync up.
Same
with you if you're over in if you go home or whatever. It's only 20 quid on a ride to Liverpool, 20 minutes.
Oh, definitely.
We've got SNA, we've got Amaform BO, like, two top courses, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Like, because I'm always, my girlfriend's never been over, like, and her heritage is, she has a lot of English in her heritage and a bit of Irish as well. So, well, I'm always telling her, because I've been to Liverpool, like I said, so I'm always telling her, oh, we'll have to go over, and I'd love to take her to a Premier League game. So,
yeah,
because it's funny, remember you were telling me earlier, like, about your Dublin mate that you took to United.
Yeah, no, it took games. Four of them. There's four Dubs come over, and we got for the United game, and we slaughtered them 4-0. I was like, this never happened, honestly. Like, this is new for me as well.
So funny. I was dying laughing earlier as well. But yeah, we'll have to sync up and do something like,
no,
something
like that. Like,
100%,
hopefully,
yeah.
Hopefully fucking United will get the finger out and not lose fucking 4-0 again.
Right then, mate. Yeah, so honestly, thanks for that, Ronan. So it's anyone who's listening from our end, it's at, what is it on the Instagram if people want to follow you, mate?
It's at Yoga Golf Dad. Real simple. So yeah, give us a follow everyone back. And yeah, just putting it up there, meet a lot of great people and just making connections. That's what it's all about. Like, that's how I met you lads. I saw your podcast. I was like, oh, this is fucking brilliant.
Appreciate it.
You meet great people and give us the follow.
100%. And if anyone wants
anyone's in Boston, let me know. Or if you are looking for some fucking, if you have any questions just on yoga or fucking whatever it is, would love to, chat. Like,
100%. Maybe we'll keep in touch. And likewise, if anyone's listening and who's not following us yet, we're at Bogey Boys Pod.
Yeah.
Give us a follow
too. And I actually forgot to ask is this too. There's a lad from Liverpool that was the assistant pro at the Island Golf Club where I grew up, Stuart Taylor. And I'm not sure if he's knew him or known, but he's based in Dubai now. He works with Titleist, I think, in Dubai. But I always remember him being a funny cunt, like, with the Liverpool accent. Like, but he... Stuart Taylor, well, he would have played like English for the English team and all back in the day as well.
How old would he be?
I think he's maybe like a little older than me, maybe about 35, 36.
Yeah.
I just turned 34 today, but he's been in Dubai for a long time now, but I'm friends with him on Instagram. But if there's, I just wasn't sure if he's new or not. Like,
No, I'm not on him.
Just being a golfer and being from Liverpool, but,
sure, he's got a good story and a good journey, though, mate. Yeah, we'll definitely hook up and speak to him. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Definitely. He'd be a good lad to look out for, especially being a scouter like you lads.
That's it,
mate.
I like it, brother.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for that, Ronan. And you literally know you can go and get in that food coma.
And go and get shit-faced.
I know, yeah. I'll be langered as well. I have to ask one last question. What the fuck is on your hat there? I can't even. You're both wearing the same hat. Like, what logo is that?
It's a local business called React Collection. React Collection. For their own name, they're on Instagram. React Collection, just a local business. I was trying to support
them. Promote them for them.
Yeah. Hoodies and hats and things, yeah. He's just getting started, but really good lad, good local business, and he does some really good quality stuff, yeah.
Oh, savage, yeah. I'm all about the local. No, it's a cool logo, so like I'd never seen it, so I was just curious there.
Yeah.
Who he's rocking it, like.
That's it.
Yeah, if they've any fucking for the fat heads, send them over to Boston.
I'm in the post for you.
Definitely will send one over for you, mate, 100%.
All right. Well, yeah, good chats, lads. Thanks again, and have a good night, and enjoy the rest of your week. And,
you too, mate.
I can't wait to see this podcast and your future podcast. When you get out golfing in December, I'll have to fucking see your fucking tree putts and whatever else.
Yeah. Fucking see our fingers after we've thinned the 3-iron.
Tin to win.
That's the one. That's the one. You take care, mate.
Take care.
All right, cheers, lads. Good luck.
See you later, Ronan. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.